Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Who's under there, I wonder? I want to know, but I can't see. Who's under there, I want to talk about this and let's stay with you. Who's under there, I wonder? I want to know, but I can't see. Who's under there, I want to talk about this and let's stay with you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Masked Singer Wrap-Up Podcast. We're here today to talk all about Season 6, Episode 3 of the Masked Singer Group B premiere. It's a black tie affair, according to Nick Cannon, so we're just going to go with that. We are royalty, and we are excited to be here. I'm your host, Puya the Mannequin, Zan Bikili. And of course, as always, I'm not here alone. I'm here with my partner and everything. It's Liana, the cream cheese Boris. Liana, how are you doing today?
Was I supposed to dress up? I didn't.
There's still a chance. You still have the opportunity to potentially dress up.
I'm wearing that like red plaid, like Canadian t-shirt, black tie kind of thing. Like not a Canadian tux. Like I have jeans on, but I don't have a jean jacket. But I do have that kind of red. You know what I'm talking about? That like red plaid shirt.
Yes, I do.
Makes me think of Canada.
Yeah.
Or I don't know if it's actually plaid.
I'm dressed. Whether it's in an upwards direction is up for debate. I'm wearing comfy pants and a worn out RHAP shirt. So.
Did I tell you, I had to go to lab today, you know, obviously, as I left the home, but the listeners at home that I'm in the middle. I've been working from home a lot, which is nice. I had to actually go into lab today and I told one of my coworkers, I was like, oh my God, I had to put on real pants. It was literally the worst. It was horrible. Anyway. I'm not dressed up in that way, but I am dressed more so than normal.
That's good. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
I'm wearing what I usually wear, so I'm living.
Yeah.
You know, it's good. Yeah. Life's good. Yeah.
Well, right. It's cold, so you're wearing a beanie.
I brought out the toque today for the first time this year. Yeah. It's, the toque is on. I did have to take it off because my head was getting too hot in my room. So. It's sitting next to me, but that's fine.
Okay.
No.
All right.
Thank you.
Cool. All right. Good start.
Good start. Where are you like Robin Thicke just clapping after yourself? Like, yeah, go me. I did it.
What did he say in this episode? Oh, that it was at the elimination. We'll talk about it later. He had one of my favorite phrases I think I've heard in a long time. So
I can't wait to find out. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, this was, you know, like I said, branded as a black tie affair edition of the Masked Singer. And Nick was pumping it up. We're going to see 5 new performers, blah, blah, blah. Then Nick comes out with a big ass cape. Like this was the biggest cape of all time.
I loved it. I thought it was so great. I love stuff like that. It was extra long. He needed one of the men in black to help, you know, fawn it out, make sure it doesn't get caught on anything. And even though Ken hates it, I very much loved it. The brooch also was really cute. I thought his brooch looked gorgeous. I wanted that. Did I tell you about my idea when I become an old lady? I'm going to wear pantsuits and I'm going to have brooches and that's going to be my thing. I'm going to have like a bunch of brooches. Oh my God. Why am I waiting? I should start now.
Get the collection while, you can. I don't know. You can collect that anytime.
Do you think kids will respect me if I wear brooches? They'll be like, yeah, she knows what she's talking about. She's a brooch lady.
Who are these kids that you're trying to demand respect from?
You know, the kids, the TikTok kids.
Are you going to be showing these brooches off on the internet?
I mean, maybe we'll see.
We'll see. I don't know. I mean, so did you, the logo, I don't know what to call it, the emblem that the brooch is on Nick Cannon's chest. Do you know what that is, or does that signify anything?
Oh, I thought it was just like a leafy, like a leaf. Shiny, leafy thing.
Yeah, I don't know. If anyone knows what that means, or if it does mean a thing, let us know. How do you feel about the, cause like obviously he comes out with the cape, but then the entire background and the floor is like a very colorful, monster like substance. Like it's like the monster's fur, but it's in all different colors. How do you feel about that like color scheme for this season?
I mean, they went on it all in on it. Like it was covering the back walls. It was covering the ground. I think it's cute. I think it looks soft.
It does look soft. It does look like a furry wall, and I'm all about that. So I am definitely a little bit jealous of the Masked Singer, but also Nick makes that entrance. Everything's looking good. We're excited to dive in. Now, before we do, Liana, just a quick, like, one tweet's worth explanation. How do you feel about Group B overall?
Ooh, okay. Wait, can this not be included as part of my tweet? Because I only have 280 characters, right?
You are down to 20 characters. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Yeah, it's fine. You're good.
Okay. Sorry. I need to be really, let me pull up Twitter. I'm going to write down the tweet just to make sure I have enough space.
You're like purred happy.
All right. Here goes my tweet. Okay. All right. Okay. So overall, I feel really strongly about Group B. However, I do think that it's weird that they only lost one person, whereas Group A lost two people just based on one performance. So I don't know how that's going to impact my view of them long term, but it's something to think about. I was seven characters over.
Oh, delete the tweet. Yeah, so it is fascinating that because there was no rhyme or reason besides the fact that, hey, Group A is the starting group and they're going to premiere. So we're going to have it be the double unmasking. But I will say, I think overall this group is stronger. Having not seen the wild cards yet, I feel like this group is stronger. So if we had lost two here, I might have been able to predict which two. But I feel like overall this group was better and more well-rounded than the other group.
I wonder if that's why. Are we going to get two wild? Yeah, we're definitely going to get two wild cards into this group as well, right?
I mean,
one next week, but then.
Yes, and then one after that again. Yes.
Oh my God. Do we have the episode Masked Singer season 6? Do we have
Liana? I'm telling you, it's one next week. So we'll go back up to 6.
Yeah. But then
sorry, 5 and okay, then so one again later.
Okay. Well, yeah. No, I hear that and I totally believe you and we're on the same page. The only reason I'm asking is because are we going to get 3 episodes of Group B or are we going to get two episodes Group B, then go back to Group A, which has already lost 3 people? You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
Here's the thing. We're like trying to get logic in a show that doesn't have logic in the formatting. So we'll be okay. Everything will be fine. Okay. Fine. So actually, next week, the Group A members return and a new wild card enters the game.
Oh, you know what they could do for Group B? Maybe that's one of the groups that has the button. You know the button where you hit the button and then that eliminates somebody or doesn't eliminate somebody. But if the guess is correct, maybe that's what it's going to be. Or we definitely saw two people. I think we saw Jenny and Ken both hitting the button. So I don't know. Whatever. Who cares? It's a Masked Singer. It's going to happen as it happens. So
the next 2 weeks, Episode 4 is titled House Party. Group A returns and a new wild card enters the game.
Oh.
Then, the week after that, Date Night, the characters from Group B return for their second performances and a new wild card enters the game.
Okay, there you go. Interesting. So we're going to spend a total of 4 hours on Group A with only 1 hour on Group B.
That's right. No, I mean, not 4 hours, 3 hours.
That's correct.
Because the premiere episode was only 1 hour.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. Okay. That's fine.
Okay. All right. Let's just dive in here. Not as good a time as any. Just jump into the first performance of the night. We're meeting Groupie for the first time. Here comes the Queen of Hearts. Liana, what do you think of this costume now that we've seen it up close and personal?
Obviously, I still have my concerns about her ability to move around being so top heavy with like that big giant thing, especially seeing her very slender little legs. I was like, oh my God, how is she even carrying that around? It must be made out of something that's super light for her to, because she moved way more than I thought she could. I was terrified she was going to tip over the whole time.
They talked about Queen of Hearts' legs a lot with the panel.
I'm not going to lie. When she walked out, that was the first thing I noticed was her legs. And then what? When Jenny and that's what stood out to me.
There's one eye on this face. There's an eye missing. And you noticed the legs first?
I mean, I don't know. Call me a creepo, but that was all I could stare at because I was like confused about how tiny her legs were and how giant the rest of the costume was. So it was more like a proportions kind of thing. Like she's got this just like teeny tiny little stick legs and the rest of this like giant body. Also, there's something weird about the proportions. Her torso must be 2 inches long because I don't know how she fits in the top half of that costume.
Ugh. Yeah, it is a phenomenal costume. There's a lot going on with it. It's not just the heart. There's a crown. But the crown is only on the left, like heart hump. And then there's an eye on the right. Hump, but then there's spikes on it.
Is that the technical term?
I don't know. Heart hump? You're the scientist. What is the technical term?
But yeah, but hearts don't look like that.
Yeah, but these like drawn hearts do. Maybe actual hearts don't.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. Like I would say they have chambers.
No, I like hump better. Chambers of the heart. Okay. We're gonna go with that.
My lovely heart humps, my humps.
Yeah. Okay. So the clue package that we are presented with did give us a little bit. So first thing we learn, there's a strong Southern accent on the Queen of Heart. There is a clock with the time of 10 o'clock on it. There's a Tin Man person. The Queen of Heart drinks some kind of elixir by the looks of it. They talked about how they spent their entire life learning how to champion their own heart. And then there was a horse. There was a chess set where like there was a knight piece that was dropped. There was a ghost that vanished. And their BFF is Hilary Swank. And then the queen chess piece was raised back up. So the queen was back up again. And then that's where we started.
So to me, the two references, there was the Wizard of Oz reference, and then the drinking the vial was from Alice in Wonderland. And then she go like that. That was what that whole thing was for. It was all Alice in Wonderland. So I don't know exactly what that means. But that's the only thing that I'd add there. I will say the picture of Hilary Swank, I couldn't remember her name, the actress's name. And I had to Google it, but the only thing I could remember was that movie where she's the boxer. And so yeah. I have a very awkward search history to identify her.
Million Dollar that. Baby.
Yes. But I couldn't remember the name of the movie. I could only remember like a very specific thing from that movie. And that anyway. So yes, Hilary Swank's best friend, which I have no idea who Hilary Swank's best friend is. But also we know that doesn't necessarily mean Hilary Swank. Right? It could be like
a Hillary or a Swank.
Swanky. Like, ooh, she's super swanky. Also, maybe BFF stands for something else. Like, we think it's best friends forever, but maybe it's not. Maybe it's like born.
Both found fame at the same time. BFF.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Okay, that's better than what I was going to come up with. So, yeah, I like that.
Yeah, so it's very interesting because I feel like it gave us a lot, but also not enough in that there were a lot of clues, but very vague, nothing connecting with each other that I saw. I imagine also the 10 o'clock, that matters. So that's going to be something we need to look at is either the number 10 or the time 10 o'clock, whether PM or AM. That's got to have some significance, or at least I think so, because the clock arms were on 10, but then also the clock had the number 50, obviously, where the 10 was, and then the number 60 where the zero was. So maybe those two numbers, 50 and 60, are what we need to be looking at. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I do have a guess that I've put into my sheet as my, the sight unseen guess, but I don't think it's a good, great one. Mm-hmm. But I'm intrigued.
Mm-hmm. So I actually think that these clues could, I think they're vague enough, but I think there's enough detail here that if you know the person, you can go back and match the clues. Unfortunately for me, I'm not at the state where I feel like I can do that. Like, I don't have a good guess that I could go back and be like, ah, yes, this lines up, this lines up, this lines up. Yeah. I think maybe once we get, because I do believe that Queen of Hearts will be around for a bit. And once we get more information, I think this might be a good clue package to actually go back and cross-reference some of our guesses once we get a little bit more information.
So you're saying that Queen of Hearts is going to stay for a bit. Why don't you let the audience while you think that? Tell us about this performance.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So she did Born This Way by Lady Gaga. I was upset after, because, okay, you got her in the draft. You had seen her performance and you were like, yeah, she's good. And then I watched the performance. I'm so mad at myself because I would have picked her probably first or second if I had had the option, because I think she's absolutely outstanding. Because we know she has another performance, it might be the one in the week after this. We know she sticks around at least 2 weeks and both are really strong. So I think that she's going to be one of the top contenders out of the group here, because I agree with what Robin said, where he was like, oh, I think this is just the beginning of showing what you can do.
Yeah, I mean, I loved everything we got here. I think that Queen of Hearts, unless there is a very strong wild card to come in, is pretty much in the front running in the top two, battling to get out of this group. I thought this performance was very good. The motif was, it was like all red, but it's kind of like a mansion, you know, those dueling staircases that come down to the same middle. Mm-hmm. One of those in the background. It's all red. It looks great. The dancers have these really big capes on too. Again, we're back to the capes once again. But they start the performance with three of the dancers like hammering the ground, and then it kind of shatters the diamond that the floor is supposed to be. I loved all the presentation, and then the vocals were just on another level. Like, I felt very, very, very good. The voice is amazing. She was able to hit multiple different notes, which was phenomenal. And at the end of the performance, there were sparks at the back that were let loose. It was great. This was a 10 out of 10 performance for me and a great way to start the episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm looking forward to see her future performances. She's going to be around. Yeah, oh my God, unless they pull some freaking BS and somebody knows who she is and then she has to go, and that would be sad.
You gotta pretend that that twist isn't happening, because it's gonna sour you on everything as we go along here. For sure.
Oh my God, I know, right?
Oh, and she's also on my team, so we're happy about that. It's good. It's very good. All right. Then the judges are, you know, giving giving the flowers to the performer, as they do with every single performer. But then Nick says, y'all take too much to do guesses. We're going to put you on a shot clock, 15 seconds. Put the alarm clocks on the table and go.
I hated this because obviously as people who are also trying to make guesses, this was very painful and it definitely had an effect on my guesses.
Yeah, I definitely felt very much like a panic of, oh my God, was it this name? Oh no, I don't think it's this name. Oh no, it is this name. Okay. It was definitely a lot of that. So ultimately, you know, I got a guess and I don't feel great about it, but 15 seconds is not enough in my opinion.
No, it was very challenging, but I get also why they're doing it for the show. But my heart goes out to the judges.
Queen of Heart. Nice. Nailed it. Mm. And then the judges had a couple wild guesses they put out there. First of all, again, they fixated on the legs. Nick asks Queen of Hearts, hey, why Queen of Hearts? And Queen of Hearts says, well, the world is noisy. I'm here to be a big old megaphone of a heart something. I didn't understand a word of this saying. If it's a saying, I've never heard it. Did you make anything of that line?
I think it was just like, let's just spread love because she's a heart and love.
That was, yeah, it was kind very of generic.
A, yeah. I get it. Love each Nicole, other.
Love. Yeah. What are you, Julie Chen? Nicole guessed Britney Spears. Jenny guessed Fergie. And Ken guessed Renee Zellweger, which, Liana, if this is Fergie, would you lose your mind that you didn't get to pick her?
I would lose my mind. I strongly, strongly, 100% believe that this is not Fergie, though. So I think I'm in the clear.
I think you're in the clear. I don't think it's any of the three guesses they put out here, but I'm intrigued because we're going to get another chance at seeing Queen of Hearts for sure, which is phenomenal. So we're in a good spot. We're in a good spot. Hmm. Good start here to the episode three.
Good start. Good start.
Now, I know you've been avoiding this next performer. You've been ducking. Well, let's just go talk about the mallard anyway. So here comes the mallard. All right. Mallard struts through, looking all swagged up, looking all suave, got the great, you know, costume with the suit, fancy man mallard, but then dances a little bit like a dad, as Jenny put it.
Yeah, dad vibes for sure. But then it was interesting because the clue package was also kind of old timey themed with the, when I was a kid, we walked uphill both ways. I had a nickel, you know, like that kind of thing. And, I think it was a quarter, but regardless, you get my point. But then when he started singing, it didn't necessarily sound, oh, this is clearly a young person, like a child, but it didn't feel as old as the movement. So part of me felt like, oh, maybe this is trying to throw people off the scent or something like that.
Well, it was a weird clue package. So it definitely does feel like it was a throw off, attempt because in the clue package, Mallard mentions that they have a best-selling book and a platinum album, right? Mm-hmm. 1-2 hit right there. There was a cowboy boot in the thing. Like you mentioned, it seemed old-timey. The Mallard talked about how they used to take quarters to be a human jukebox. And the way that worked is someone would put a quarter in their armpit and then they'd perform for them or something. It was weird. And then they talked about how their first job was selling worms. Now,
what if a worm stands for something else?
Like earworm. I think this could be like this could be a DJ. That's not impossible. This could be some kind of DJ kind of person.
Yeah, I tried to Google selling worms and it all came up with like literally selling worms, like your earthworms. I don't know. Maybe it's code. Maybe it's code for something else.
Code for what?
You know.
No, you can't just hypothesize something's a code without having some kind of guess for it.
No, you know, I don't know. I don't know anything. But you know, like code. No? Wink?
No wink.
I Googled on Urban Dictionary worm just to see if it was like code for anything. The definition is a long snaky boy.
Yeah, see, I think Urban Dictionary is not going to help us here at all. They did focus in on the saxophone guy a couple times that was in this package. Remind me of Epic Sax Guy from Eurovision back in the day. So that's a shout. I think that could even be a nod to like an internet person. So like someone who was in the internet space when Epic Sax Guy became a big meme. So we could see that potentially being a part of it. There was a zoom in on a deer at one point. And then this one. So the first two performers, their clue package had a BFF portrait. The rest didn't. The BFF in this portrait was Chris Pratt.
Oh, okay. That I think I missed.
Wow.
Okay. Sorry. Who's friends with Nick Chris
Offerman.
Pratt?
Shut it down. It's Nick Offerman.
Yeah, okay. You think it's someone who, doesn't Chris Pratt go to that like weird church in LA or whatever that all the religious celebrities go to? So maybe it's someone who goes to that church. Yeah, I saw TikTok that was Chris Pratt's relationship with whomever he's with now. It was too long. I didn't finish the TikTok. I got bored. But for the 30 seconds that it captured my attention span, it talked about Chris Pratt going to some church. There's some church in LA.
I don't know where you're first. You're talking about worms and now you're like talking about this TikTok that you'd never finished, but you're so certain about suddenly. You're a strange one.
I swear I remember it. I'll find out the name for you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Going back to best-selling book and platinum album. Platinum album's no joke. Like, that does carry quite a bit of weight and create quite a bit of shortlist, I feel like. Now, the key here is what kind of platinum album, right? Because it could be a comedian. Yes. It could be a comedy album.
Oh my God. I'm so happy actually to hear that we're on a similar page. The first time I heard book and then album, I was like, oh, what if the album's not a musical album? It could be something like that, something like a stand-up comedian routine. It could be like the audiobook version of his book. Huh?
That would be ridiculous. Does that count? It's not like, okay, yeah, Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban is double platinum. Like, that's not a thing.
Oh, okay. I thought it could be a thing. I don't know.
I mean, it's
okay. The church's name is Zoe Church.
Zoe Church?
Z-O-E Church?
I think that's pronounced Zoe.
Okay. It's described as the Hollywood hipster church that Pratt and others flock to.
Huh. Okay. So, fascinating.
Okay. That's real. Yeah,
I will tell you now, 100%, that's not going to be relevant to this mallard.
How dare you?
But I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued by the mallard because the mallard seem to have, based on the countryness of this clue package, make all of the judges think that they're a country singer. And the choice of song and performance didn't help that either. Because the song, what's the song called? Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy song?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the song that was done. The backup dancers had the Yosemite Sam hats is what I could describe it as, like the cartoon. And the motif was like a saloon. And ultimately, I thought the vocals were okay. It didn't jump off the stage for me. It was fine. That's why I was confused why they were so convinced it's like an actual – like proper country singer, because I didn't feel like we got a very strong country song performance.
Okay, so a million thoughts. One, let me talk about the backup dancers real quick. They were not wearing masks. Is this the first time that we've never seen the backup dancers wear masks? Because they were just the men in black. They had the sunglasses on. They weren't wearing masks.
We've definitely had non-mask dancers before. I feel like more of the mask stuff happened in like the later seasons. I feel like the first couple seasons, there were definitely performers here and there that did not have masked dancers.
Backup dancers. Okay. Well, fine. Anyway, I thought I'd crack the case, but I don't know what that means anyway. All right. So that's my thought about the backup dancers. My thought about the performance. When all of the judges were like, this is a country singer. This is a country singer. This is a country singer. I was like, what? Really? Because there was something about the way that the, like, don't get me wrong. Good singer, I think, definitely a solid performer. Although if I had to compare against the others, I may have seen the mallard going home. But what I thought was super weird was the fact that he kind of cut off his last word when he was singing. So it would be something like, you know, save a horse, ride a cowboy, cowboy. Like I don't know. I can't describe it, but it felt like the sentences ended too long. He didn't hold the notes. It felt awkward. It felt weird. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that a country song as classic as Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy, I just feel like you're going to nail that and you're not going to have that kind of awkward, like truncatedness. But that's my observation.
Unless this is a ploy, similar to what I thought the pufferfish was doing, in that you're very good and you're trying to throw it a little bit so that you have more oomph in the future performance. Because I think that's a solid shout to strategize like that.
That's totally possible, right? So it's like if you can just survive the first one, then you can really hammer home the other elements of your talent. I think a little bit that's what the Queen of Hearts is doing, but I felt like for the mallard, it's a little bit of a risk because, you know. Anyway,
yeah, we'll see. Because I do think the mallard definitely flew very close to the sun and could have had a scare. So we'll see. We'll see. Yeah. Okay. Now, ultimately, I thought this was a fine performance. Again, vocals were fine. Everything was basic. It was okay. Then when the judges got to their guesses, Robin mentions Garth Brooks. Jenny lists 1,200 country singers and demands the editors put the faces on the performer at every given turn. Mm-hmm. And then Ken says Billy Ray Cyrus and everyone said shush. But the weirdest thing that happened here is that a random horse like person ran onto the stage and like jumped around, then ran back. What was that all about?
I was hoping you would have some insight. Genuinely, no clue. No idea. Was it a clue?
No, defo not. It was 100%. To me, it was 100% a gag. Just like, let's have something new here and something unexpected show up. I didn't mind it. I was just confused.
Okay. I have no idea. I don't know what to tell you. That I was just sort of in shock. I was like, did I miss something? So, no idea.
No, you didn't. Just a horse showing up on stage. Classic Masked Singer stuff. Right there.
Classic Masked Singer.
Which brings us now to this next performer. It's very rare sometimes that we can have our cake and eat it too. Here comes the cupcake. Liana, take it away.
Cupcake? Yeah. Okay. So, the cupcake. Let me tell you about the cupcake. So, first of all, similar to the Queen of Hearts, but not as noticeable, the legs, right? So we've got a sort of similar structured costume with the whole like little tiny legs, but this time they got boots. So I don't know what that means, but I thought it was going to be someone much older because of the way that the Men in Black helped the cupcake out onto the stage. But then they seem to move fine around the stage. So I don't know. Maybe it was just like, oh, you can't see very well outside of the costumes. Maybe that's why, but I wasn't.
The costume is very much a block on top of legs. So I think it's a combination of it's difficult to walk with it or like start walking with it. Then once you have a rhythm, you're fine. Also, I do think movement or vision might be a problem here.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah. Actually, I'm looking back at the performance. I think I got confused by the backup dancers because the cupcake pretty much just like stands in the center of the circle the whole time.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh my God. She's like, her little arms stick out of the cupcake. She looks so uncomfortable. Oh man. Okay. So anyway, so then the cupcake's clues. So this was, I've been doing this, for a long time, but this time I'm solo, doing it for someone that they love who got a diagnosis or something like that. Something about heart pancakes, unclear about what that means. And honestly, I think that's all I got.
I mean, the note said, go get 'em girl, XOXO, which I thought was,
did they have a BFF? Did they have a BFF?
They did not have a BFF. No, they had no BFF. Instead, we saw a vending machine. We saw a coffee pot. This was all in a diner, by the way. There was a bottle of whiskey that they made sure to highlight. Mm. And then they talked about how someone they love got news. Like, they got news about someone they love's health. So that was the thing that we found out. And that's pretty much what I got out of the clean package myself.
Yeah, there really wasn't a lot to chew on here. So I felt like unless you kind of immediately knew who it was, and this is what I'm talking about in contrast to the Queen of Hearts, whereas like here, there's little things, but I honestly don't know. I didn't get much.
Well, what did you get out of the performance? What were your thoughts on the performance here?
Oh, the voice is super unique. It's not what I expected at all. It definitely felt much deeper, like it was in a deeper register, which got me thinking, I don't know. I'm not sure. I truly genuinely have no idea who this is. So it was to Heatwave, Martha and the Vandellas, Della's song, which is, classic oldies hit. So I do feel like it's someone older. I think it's someone who was like older, who was in a group. I'm thinking, obviously not the Supremes, but like something kind of in that arena, like, sort of old school R&B soul kind of music, but I don't know. I got to think about it. I think it's a single in a group, if that makes sense. Like a single performer out of a group of performers. And that's why there's the comment about I'm used to doing this solo, but now I'm used to doing it in a group, but now I'm solo, if that makes sense.
Not a bad shout. Not a bad shout. Yeah. So with this performance, to bring back up the maskless dancers, Cupcake also had quite a few maskless dancers. There were a couple wigs, but for the most part, you can see their faces. There's a couple of sunglasses as well. But they're all dressed up in the diner motif. So they've got that going on. All right.
And then I gotta go back and check that out, because I'm actually like, how did I not know? I like noticed it for one group, but then that was it. Apparently my brain was just like, all right, you notice no masks, the end.
Yeah. No, it's funny because like then also, I don't know. I didn't quite the ice cream, the cupcake on the ice cream, but the cupcake's diner motif was very much like it left very little colors to be chosen from. Because everyone was dressed in like light blue and pink, and the entire background was light blue and pink. So I didn't like that it was just kind of like two-tone for the most part. But ultimately, I thought this was a fun performance. I was completely blindsided. I don't know what voice I was expecting from the cupcake, but it 100% wasn't the voice that the cupcake had. It was a good performance, and I enjoyed it, and I thought it was better than the mallard, but not by like a whole lot.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm re-listening to it right now. Because I was confused. At first I was like, I mean, I'm not entirely sure. I think it's a woman. The voice was very deep though, I felt.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, I didn't expect a deep voice to come out of a cupcake. I feel like a cupcake sounds like what the cupcake sounded in their clue package. So that's why I was a little bit blindsided by it, honestly. I was like, oh wait.
Is this the one with accent? No.
No, the accent was the mallard. Now, actually, you know what? The cupcake had a kind of an accent too. The cupcake did have a little bit, not a lot, like a big bit, a little bit, not a lot bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I feel good about the cupcake. I'm a little nervous though. It is stiff competition within the group. So we'll see.
Well, what did you think about the judges' guesses? And specifically, I want to know your thoughts about Jenny and Robin Thicke's guess of RuPaul.
It's so wrong. It's so wrong. RuPaul can't sing like that. And also, I don't get it because the height of the costume doesn't make sense either. RuPaul's like a giant. It's so wrong.
I feel like we've checked this before, but what is the height difference between RuPaul and Nick?
RuPaul's like 6'4", and Nick's like 6 feet tall. And the cupcake is for sure shorter. So I don't understand why people are like, yeah. Oh yeah, they're tall. That's the other thing is like, I don't get, they keep saying the cupcake's tall. But like, I didn't get that at all. Maybe I need to go back and like watch them lined up next to each other. It's just because the top of the cupcake, I don't know. Now I'm looking. Maybe they are tall.
I mean, that's probably, that could be why the cupcake needed assistance walking about. Initially, I can't tell exactly where the eyes and mouth are because I don't think what the cupcake's holding is necessarily a microphone. So it could be like a mouthpiece mic, but also, I mean, I don't know. It feels like a lot of hoops to climb for it to be RuPaul. Although I did like the clue, go get 'em girl XOXO. Mm-hmm. I thought that was more of a Gossip Girl thing. I don't know, because I thought about the RuPaul guess, and then I looked at the clue package, and I don't see it. I don't see a lot of it there. I don't know.
I need a good, like, side-by-side shot. I'm trying to find one of the cupcake next to Nick, because the one shot I found, the cupcake looked like a giant, and I'm like, okay, well, maybe that is closer. But unless RuPaul got some stellar vocal lessons, it just doesn't sound like Ru.
RuPaul has hella music. Are you saying that she doesn't have good music?
Oh, no. RuPaul's got bops, but like, you know, the auto-tune featured heavily. And not in a T-Pain way.
Right. Well, I don't know, because this wasn't a stellar vocal, but it wasn't a bad vocal. Okay, you know what? Can we talk about the fact that all the audiences, you know how the audience chants with their hands, like with the egg? It was like you put your hands above your head. The heart had the exact same celebration. I feel like we've gone full circle three times now, where every season it's like the same six hand gestures for 300 performers.
Yeah, well, there's only a certain number you can have. They like run out. Otherwise, it gets way too complicated. There's fingers all over the place, arms and legs. Got to get your legs involved. You know, it gets too complicated.
Yeah, I'm not about that. Definitely not about that. Okay. All right. Then shall we move along here and talk about the dog in the building? Let's talk about the Dalmatian, Liana. Dalmatian, one from your team right here. What do you think of the Dalmatian?
Well, we find out, obviously, at the end, the Dalmatian gets unmasked. So I was actually happy to like get that reveal right away, because I got through the whole clue package and I was like, they want us to think this is an athlete so bad. I was like, there is no way that this is an athlete, because we get the Dalmatian with the whole like, oh, there wasn't a playbook for my game when I was growing up, blah, 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 whatever. And then they have him in the locker room. He's lifting weights, bouncing the little exercise balls. You know, of course, he's wearing the whole football costume. They went so hard in on the sports. I just was like, there is no way this is an athlete at all whatsoever.
Well, that's interesting, because that's the reason why I didn't draft the Dalmatian, simply because out the gate, I was scared that it would be an athlete and I didn't want any part of that. But then now, and thinking about it, yeah, the more and more they showed us the Dalmatian, the more and more they wanted us to think it's an athlete. I had a moment of panic when the Dalmatian started boxing, and I thought, if this is Jake Paul, I'm never watching The Masked Singer again. They can't have back-to-back Paul brothers. They simply cannot.
What if it was one of the side men? Then you'd be okay with that.
Oh, yeah. Those are the homies, easily. Mm-hmm. They're too British for this show, I'll tell you that. So then, what's it called? We did see a Frisbee clue, which I didn't understand. I was like, okay, so I wrote down the cat. Okay, cool. But at this point, I panicked into thinking it could be Jake Paul. So then we got to the vocals, and I was like, oh, this 1,000% isn't Jake Paul.
Thank God. They did,
yeah. Well, one of my favorite songs from Snoop Dogg and Pharrell. Beautiful. Love this tune. And the performance was fun, right? And I think the emphasis is on fun. There's a lot of Dalmatian images in the back bopping their head. We're back with the masked Dalmatians. There's some creepy masks on the dancers. But they got these Dalmatian masks going on. And like little mitts, like Dalmatian mitts. It's very strange. Situation / setup here. And then the male backup dancers have football helmets on. They have white polka dot shorts on, but then they've got like a black onesie underneath the shorts with white polka dots on it. It's too much polka dots. Stop.
Yeah, the definitely went all out with the whole spots thing. Which, you know, again, Dalmatian, we're going thematic here. I thought they were kind of cute. Like, it looked like a fun little, like, kids Halloween costume style. I didn't quite get the helmets, but the tie I thought was really adorable. Very cute.
What did you think of the wrapping here?
Okay, you know that this is not my area of expertise. I had sort of a similar reaction to the mallard when all of the judges were like, yes, this is a huge rapper. It's got to be a rapper. I was like, really? Like, do I not read, like, genuinely know nothing about rapping? Because I thought it was good, but I didn't think it was like, oh my God, this is like the god of rap.
The god of rap? No, definitely not rap god. No, it's interesting that you say that, because for me, obviously, that this is my genre. I listen to a lot of rap. But when it comes to The Masked Singer, now we're six seasons in, there's been enough rappers on that my immediate go-to is I compare them to the other rappers that have been on, and I try and figure out if they were better than this person, better than this person,
better than this person.
And I didn't feel great about this person. I didn't feel great about the Dalmatian. I thought the Dalmatian didn't do a good job compared to other people potentially. So I was like, okay, I don't know who this could be. I'm already thrown off. But I did feel strongly that unless the banana split was a flop, that the Dalmatian would be the one on Mass tonight.
Yeah, I don't know. I was convinced it was going to be the Mallard because I thought maybe I just don't know anything about rap and the Dalmatian will get through. I just felt like the judges were really hyping him up. Maybe it was because they knew he was going home. So they were like, we got to give him all the cred we can while we're here. But
but I feel like the judges never not hype anyone up. They hype everything under the sun except for Ken Jeong's bad guesses. He's the only one that gets his guesses no sold. Everything else.
Jenny got a lot of booze for some of her guesses this time.
I feel like Jenny gives me I'm trying to mess up on purpose energy this season. And it's annoying because.
Oh, you think?
For like, two seasons, three seasons, she's dominated and had like very strong guesses out the gate. And now it feels like she's kind of putting the neck down. I'm like, oh, I'm just here to have fun and goof off. Yeah, it could be these eight people. Ha ha ha. It could be Garth Brooks. It could be. Ha ha ha. Yeah. Oh, maybe it's Nelly. I don't know. Ha ha. LOL. Like it's definitely she's doing too much to cover up, herself in her capabilities. And I don't know if she got a stern talking to of like, hey, you need to throw it.
Yeah. You're doing too good. Stop it.
You're making us look bad.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. I felt like if the group probably, yeah, no, definitely at this point, I was like, it's between the Mallard and the Dalmatian. I just don't know who.
Yeah, I had maybe an outside chance of, okay, what if the person out is, what's his face? The cupcake. But ultimately, I didn't think strongly. But the thing I did know by the end was that two performers were going nowhere. One was Queen of Hearts, and the next one is Banana Split. Now, Banana Split is our biggest, latest twist into the mix here. We've had a group performer before. We've had the Snow Owls. We've had a triple performer before in the Russian Dolls. We're back to two with Banana Split. One of them is a banana with hard eyes. The other is a split. But
get it.
That's just ice cream.
Yeah. You scream. Ice cream.
For ice cream. I for love ice cream. What's your favorite? What's your go-to flavor? Why the long sigh?
I don't know. I'm trying to think because the only thing I can think of are the blizzards from Dairy Queen.
Oh, that is my favorite flavor. No, my favorite flavor is the Dairy Queen blizzard.
You know, the cookie dough blizzard from Dairy Queen. My favorite flavor.
Like, what? We do love our Dairy Queen. It's a nice treat.
Yeah, I don't know. All I can think about is the mini swirls we got that one time.
Mini swirl. Yeah, I love it. Vanilla or chocolate. I'm basic, but I love it. That's my that's my jam right there. Either works.
Mini swirl.
So this ice cream with the banana, they come through together. They look like performers. Like they both look able-bodied to give us some razzle dazzle. And I am immediately very excited to see them. However, then we get into the clue package and it kind of threw me for a loop a little bit here. Okay. So in the clue package, they're excited to be here. They talk about how Hollywood can make you feel small. Then there was a silver medal. They talked about trying to quit their day job and then immediately having to go back to their day job.
Oof. Yeah.
And yeah, then there was them trying to play the, what do you call that at the carnival where like you smack a hammer into a bell?
The strength. Thing? Yeah. The like strength game or whatever, where you swing the hammer and then it dings the bell.
Yes. It had a lot of like sayings on like an oh no or big boy. And I didn't know what any of those meant. So
big boy. Yeah. And it went up to, I think, 10 or something. I thought I wrote it down. Oh, number 8. It went up to a number 8. I don't know if that means anything.
Number 8?
Yeah.
Keep that in the back of our mind. Okay. Good to know. Do you have any inklings on which direction we should be going with them? Like, do you have any feeling? I feel like you've been the best one to deal with the more than one person in a group people.
Well, I thought it was interesting because I felt like the clue package was all about the ice cream, right? And it was just the ice cream was like, oh, I did all this, I until I found a collaborator that shared the same wacky dream. And even then it wasn't even like, and I'm that collaborator. And then the banana takes over and kind of like does his own thing. It was very much focused on the ice cream, which then when during the performance, it was only the ice cream singing and the banana's just like straight chilling in the background, pretending to play piano or maybe playing like, piano. I think you said pretending, right? It was airplane. So
there are moments where you can see the banana pressing keys. But then at the end, they had like a zoomed out, the panned out shot that definitely showed the banana was not touching any keys. So I don't know if that was a mistake on their part. I'm infinitely intrigued by this decision. So we'll talk about them as a pairing, but for the vocal performance, it's important, audience, that you know, this was the Ice Cream performing A Million Dreams by Pink. It was a very good rendition. The vocals were top notch, amazing. And this was kind of the ballad of the night. It was slow. Mm-hmm. There was no extra stuff to it. But they did have this like gold dust effect in the background that looked amazing. It might be my favorite thing they've ever done with the wall in the background. The golden like sparkles looked so good.
Yeah. This, I mean, I was immediately taken with her vocal performance, obviously. Like when you have sort of this simple, the one spotlight on her, you can't help but just like completely hone in all your focus. And I did think they were going to make it into a duet at first because I was like, well, there's two of them. So I'm like waiting. And then all of a sudden you can see Banana in the background when the lights shine on Banana playing piano. And I was like, okay, so. But is he like going to sing though? So I don't know if this is them trying to kind of pull one over where with the Russian Dolls, we saw something similar. I think only two of them sang the first time. And then we got three the round after that. So I wonder if this is going to be something where we're going to kick things off with Ice Cream and then Banana is going to sing later. Because it seems weird to never have Banana sing, right? That just feels like cheating. Then it's like, well, then it's just the Ice Cream. It's not Banana Split, you know?
Right. And it's exciting. It's exciting because I don't know how we're going to go about this. Okay. Now it's interesting that Jenny brings up. So Jenny's guest is Catherine McPhee and David Foster, who I don't know who that is. Mm-hmm. But obviously I know Catherine McPhee because she was the runner up on Chris Daughtry's season of American Idol, the one season of American Idol I've watched. Now, there was a silver medal in the clue package. So if it's her, that's a good clue to tie up to that. But I want to hit you with a question here, and this might determine what I'm about to say after that. Did you feel like the clue package alluded to these two being a pairing naturally?
What does that mean?
For example, the Snow Owls were clearly a couple, right?
Oh, they know each other, couple.
Exactly. Do you get that? Do you get a sense that these two, I'll just tell you what I'm thinking.
Oh my God.
So, because I didn't recall, and I'm looking at my clue notes right now, I don't really have anything that ties the two together all that much. What if this is just two people that were on the same show one time, right?
Like two randos?
Yeah. What if this is, no, but what if this is, cause they did, say in the comments when the judges were asking them stuff, they said that a clue we can give you is we don't necessarily work together all the time, which it could signify like, you know, we're a married couple, so we don't work together, but like we're together. Or it could be like, yeah, we were on a season of a thing. That was it.
Yeah. It's tough when we never really get to see them interact all that much. I would say it's still up in the air for me. I can't say definitively one way or another. Like, I remember, did I think the Snow Owls was like for sure they were siblings?
They were siblings.
Yeah, but like, obviously that was an incorrect read. So I would be like, for sure platonic, and then watch them be in a relationship. So I don't feel comfortable to comment for fear of being wrong.
I have a feeling that once we hear Banana sing, which I predict Banana is going to sing in the next one, that'll give us a lot more of a closer answer to where we need to be with them and what is really the case with them. So we'll find out.
Yeah, we'll find out. Again, I think, okay, we're for sure going to get at least one more. I think it's going to depend on, I think the mallard is easy fodder for next week. And then I think it's a question of who the wild card is going to be. Like, I would assume that unless they're like, you can't continue with banana not singing, we're going to eliminate you.
I mean, that'd be funny. No, I mean, I like the idea that we're just not getting both of them performing right away so we can start whittling it down. I like that it's ambiguous and we don't know, because I feel like until we get a little bit more out of the banana, we're not going to have a good enough guess for the, what's it called? For this
banana
couple.
Split.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see. Obviously, like Liana mentioned, the votes come out. Dalmatian, bye-bye. You're out of the game. So the final guesses from the judges. I'll make this one quick. Robin had Nelly and stayed on Nelly. Mm-hmm. Nicole went the Liana route. I was like, one of the Lils.
Oh, my said, God.
That's a you thing. That was you trying to get a point for the taco. Be like, it's a Bob Saget type.
Yeah, well, you're going to love my locked-in guess here, too. So,
oh, my God. Okay, well, Nicole ends up switching over to Nelly. Jenny had Steve Harvey. This is what I'm talking about, the nonsense of trying to throw it. This was like, I don't know who it is, but I'm going to put a very bad guess across. It goes with Steve Harvey.
You know what? That's actually not a bad idea. I think I'm going to start using that. If there's like genuinely, I have no idea, I'm just going to be like, Steve Harvey, lock it in.
Because like it's one of those things where you're not going to win, might as well make it funny kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Like I for sure have no idea who this is, so I might as well make a joke out of it. It's Mark McGrath. I don't know.
She changes it to Kevin Hart, and then Ken stays with Reggie Bush. Mm-hmm. And then drum roll, Dalmatian has to take it off. And it's Tyga. I felt so stupid the minute Tyga's mask comes up, because I immediately was like, oh my God, the cat was a thing, because cats, tigers, okay. Mm-hmm. And then, oh my God, the racks for the dumbbells, Rack City. I was like, it was all right there. I did not go that direction. And those are the clues they end up showing in the bottom Chiron too. So I immediately felt dumb. Now, I don't listen to Tyga's music so much that I should have known. It's not like my Busta Rhymes moment or my Omarion moment. So I allow it. It's fine. Were you surprised that it was Tyga?
Okay, I'm not going to lie to you. My first thought when I saw it was Tyga was, I was like, oh man, Puyi's going to make me feel bad because he knew it and I didn't know it. And that was my honest to God, like, gut reaction to seeing it be Tyga. Because I was in this whole world of I know nothing, or I don't feel confident in my rap judging skills. So this could have been simultaneously the best and worst rapper we've ever heard on The Masked Singer. And I would have had no clue which is which.
Yeah, I didn't. I don't know. Maybe I need to listen back. I didn't think it was good. I mean, Lil Wayne wasn't good. But Tyga might have been a little bit better. But I felt like, you know, you think about, for me personally, Busta Rhymes, Wiz Khalifa, Bow Wow, like they did better. So T-Pain. Mm. So yeah, no, I don't think Tyga falls in the top three or Mount Rushmore by any means here. But no, I had it wrong. So there you go. Now, I say I had it wrong. Let's find out what we had vaulted. Liana, what was your vaulted guess for the Dalmatian?
I literally wrote, and this is, again, under the panic of the 15 seconds, I have no idea, a rapper or something, IDK.
Okay, so to be clear, you get 0 points.
I literally might as well have written down Steve Harvey. Like, that's what I'm saying. When I love that approach, because, geez, mine was so bad.
Chef Boyardee, that's my final guess. Lock it up.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah, Ronald McDonald, like Grimace. I don't know.
Grimace. I had Ja Rule as my guess. And
Ja Rule. Wait, what happened to him after the Fyre Fest? He didn't like get arrested. It was just that one guy, right?
Yeah, no, he like did a thing. He did a halftime show at one of the Milwaukee Bucks games.
Okay,
that
so he's
didn't
around.
Go. That didn't go well. He did a versus recently. So he's, you know, he's doing his thing. He's doing his thing. Who did he do his versus against? Let me just check that real quick. He did his versus against Fat Joe. Yeah, there we go.
Okay. What? Really?
Yeah. So yeah. So, okay. So no Ja Rule. The reason was I was like, okay, didn't sound great. Maybe it's someone who like, you know, has gotten older. Okay. Let me just throw Ja Rule in there. We'll see what happens. Wasn't Ja Rule. I obviously feel like if Ja Rule was there, there would be a Firefest nod or something. And we just didn't have any of that, but it's fine. Hmm. Tyga was a good sport. Tyga mentioned that he did this because he saw Wayne do it and that made him want to do it. Wayne being Lil Wayne, of course, as the robot. So, you know, good job, Tyga. Mm-hmm. You got him.
Look, he looked like he was having a good time. And when he got unmasked, he was just all smiles. It was really cute. I was like,
that's what all we can ask him. For.
That's so cute. He looks so happy. He's got a really gorgeous smile.
Gorgeous, huh?
He's got like really straight teeth. I don't know if they're veneers, but they're like a little bit uncomfortably straight. Is that weird? You know, like when something's almost too perfect, you're just like, that's weird.
Do you have teeth envy right now? Is that what you're telling me?
Oh my God. Yes. Because I have that little tiny gap between my two front teeth that never like quite completely closed. And they just look so good. Maybe it's jealousy.
I definitely know what you mean by that. So that brings us to the end of this, Liana. Now, again, for the viewers at home or the listeners at home, rather, the next two episodes, episode 4 is called House Party. We're going back to Group A again with the introduction of a wild card. Then the week after that, we're going to come back to this group that we just met with a wild card called Date Night. So we're going to have both a house party on this podcast and a date night on this podcast, and you're welcome to join us. Now, Liana, where can people find you? What else do you have going on?
Let's see. So you can follow me on Twitter at Liana RHAP. Mike and I are going to do finale coverage for Big Brother. So we're doing a final BBB&B, and we're going to talk about some of our superlatives, our predictions, how terrible we all were. We're going to talk about some of the jury house stuff. So I'm really excited for that. So definitely check that out. Also, we are, of course, in the start of the Survivor season. So Mike and I are going to cover episode 2 with special guest Jordan Kalish. So be ready to play some fun games. I can't wait to talk about this episode. I thought it was really enjoyable. So those are the two big things. Just a lot of being around here.
Lovely, lovely stuff. You can find me on social media at Puyaism. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Puya. I do stream there 3 times a week. Definitely come say hi now with Big Brother over. I might be there a little bit more often than I was. 90 Day Fiance, still going strong. I had Mari on with me to talk about things. Liana, do you know what soaking is?
Yes, unfortunately, I guess. I think it's unfortunate. Yeah.
I think you knew about it before I knew about it. So thank you for not telling me about it.
You're welcome. I love it when you discover things on your own. It's a joy.
You do? Yeah. That joy was caught live on podcast and is on people's podcast feeds if they would like to check that out. Mario was a great guest. Next week I have Sasha with me to talk about episode 6. 90 Day has been great to me. I've been very happy with that. Big Brother has officially closed now. I was on the finale pod with Rob, Taryn, and Melissa to talk about everything that went down Wednesday night. So that was good. Definitely go through and check that out. Besides that, the Circle finale also happened. And I will be on to talk about the Circle with Taryn, Chantel, and Mary real soon. So that'll be on your feed somewhere. And with that, we've come to the end of another podcast here. Now, one last thing, if you would and could like to leave a rating and review, please go over to robiswebsite.com/maskedsinger. That is MASKEDSINGER. And leave a rating and review. It would be very much appreciated. It's the best way for people to find us. We're fresh into the season. Be nice to get a couple new pairs of eyes on here. And as always, I do appreciate your feedback. So anything you can tell us about what we're doing right, you know, what we're doing wrong, anything like that, always do appreciate that from you. Last season, we set a goal of 120, and the reward was we'd watch Holy Moly. Y'all broke that. We're on 123. If we can get to 130, that's a good place to be. So definitely do that if you have the time. We do appreciate you. Until next time, take care. Have a good one. Bye. Who's under there? I wonder.
want to know what I can't see.